Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Everybody, it is Stephanie White from Louisville Family Fun, and I am here on another Friday to share some very useful information with you. At least I think it's useful. You can form your own opinion, I suppose. And from the Louisville.am studio in the Highlands, we are coming to you with another Louisville Family Fun podcast. So I decided, you know, sometimes we're doing family fun, but to have your family fun, you got to have a balance. You have to have all of those things going right for your family, or at least doing your best to make things happen. And, you know, school is upon us, so I have a guest with me today. Her name is Corey Gadansky, and she is with the Metro United Way, and we are going to discuss school readiness. So everybody has their concerns. Everybody wants what's best for their child, and they want to know, did I equip my child with what they need socially, academically, to enter kindergarten or to get ready for the fifth grade, they're going into middle school, whatever it is. How do we prepare our children? What are the best ways to do that? Some tips. And Corey's really great. She comes in with some great information specifically for the little ones. And we discuss some tips in this podcast that are just to ease some of your worries, to get some of that anxiety away. And think about, is my kid ready for school? And don't forget, here we go. I have a brand new segment. Since it's Friday, I said, what are we going to do if people are tuning in on a Friday and they're kicking off the weekend? I'm going to leave you with in the podcast from now on with a Friday funny. The Friday funnies are going to be little, cute, dorky, cheesy jokes that you can share with your kids on the weekend and get the weekend rolling with laughter. So thank you so much for tuning in, and make sure that you check out all the podcasts on Louisville.am. They're really, really great. Or if you're just tuning in to Louisville Family Fun for the first time, what? Make sure you go back and look at all the other podcasts. We've done a bunch of them, and they're all fantastic, fabulous. So go back and tune in. But here we go with Corey Gadansky from Metro United Way. Prior to us turning on the mics, I said, well, so what is your official title? And she sighed and said, it's super long. So I'm just going to hand it over to her, and she can tell you her title.
My official title is the Senior Manager of Early Childhood Initiatives.
Yes, that's, you need like an acronym.
I do. And we are very good at acronyms at United Way, so we could probably come up with one. But essentially, I lead our early childhood efforts to promote school readiness in the community.
Awesome. So she is the perfect. I put out some calls on Twitter and said I wanted to do a podcast. It's back to school time. Wanted to inform some parents about school readiness. And, of course, I got a tweet from Metro United Way and said, we have the gal for you. So the pressure is on. You are the gal, apparently.
I feel the pressure.
Okay. So Corey, like we have just said, is with the Metro United Way. And so they do a really diverse number of programs and have their hands in a lot of initiatives around Louisville. But this topic we're going to talk about is school readiness, because over and over again throughout the summer, I hear parents talking about back to school in an excited way, but so also with some stress. And then I also hear from parents that are all sorts of demographics. And so they're going to school for the first time. Maybe they didn't go to preschool, or maybe they've been in preschool, or I mean, there's all sorts of things. So we want to talk about, how do you know your child is ready, or how do you prepare your children? All of that good stuff about school. Are you ready? Here we go, Corey. Okay, so let's get some information about the Metro United Way. Let's let the public know, what all are you guys involved in?
We are involved with a lot of different efforts in the community. I think that a lot of people, when they think about Metro United Way, they've probably been asked to give to United Way at a workplace campaign. So they think about United Way as raising money in the community and giving it out to agencies.
Okay.
And we do that.
Right.
And we do so much more.
So you Metro United Way does help channel money into agencies that need it who are helping family Absolutely. Children in the area.
And a broad spectrum of agencies that from childcare, some of the agencies that I work with, to agencies that support basic needs for families, food banks, and then agencies that help care for frail elderly and other agencies that support out-of-school time efforts. We talk about that as those sort of after-school programs
right.
that you think of for older kids.
Okay, so that's really cool. So in terms of supplemental to that, if you're not funding agencies, what else do you guys do?
So I'll sort of focus in on my area of expertise, the early childhood work that we do. And, you know, when you were talking about school readiness, a lot of people think about school readiness as, okay, so it's the summer before my child starts kindergarten. Now what do I do?
Right.
But we know that actually before birth even, we are already laying the groundwork for how well our children will be positioned to enter school. So one of my very favorite projects that we have at Metro United Way is utilizing it. We call it the Ages and Stages Project.
Okay.
And any parent or caregiver in the community can request an Ages and Stages questionnaire, which is a very simple to use. It's kind of like a survey. You get to play some little games with your kids and try out different activities for them to do.
Is that like the stuff I answer at the doctor?
It is very similar to the stuff okay. that you answer at the doctor, but you can just do it yourself.
Oh, okay.
And you
gotcha.
Can do it multiple times. So I think there's about 21 different versions of this little survey tool that starts from the time that your child is about 1 month old all the way until he or she is 5 and a half.
Okay.
And it looks at both the sort of cognitive skills and self-help skills, but there's also a supplemental tool that's very focused on social-emotional development. It's very beneficial to families to be able to make sure that their child is on track. If there are any areas of concern, get connected to resources.
Right. It's more of a – because a lot of times with parents of young children – I try to avoid that sort of competitive nature
right.
in everybody. Oh, can your child read yet? It's not about that. It's about your family. It's mm-hmm. about assessing your child and informing yourself.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that I love about this tool is that it helps you know what skills your child should be working on. And it's, you know, all the sort of professional background stuff. It's not testing to try to see if your child is gifted or anything. The sort of cutoff scores are the middle of the bell curve.
Right.
Is your child on track to where he or she needs to be? And a lot of times, even if seems like there maybe there's a couple things that your child isn't doing yet on the survey, it both tells you sort of what you should be working on.
Right.
And a lot of times it's not because your child isn't
there's something wrong with
them. Something wrong.
Right.
It's because they haven't had the exposure to that. I mean,
right.
one of my favorite examples is when I was working with my now almost second grader who, is, when he was three, it asked a question about, can your child use child scissors? And I thought, oh, goodness, it's time. It's time to get those down.
Get the scissors out. So that was your trigger.
Exactly.
I should get my child out practicing with some scissors.
Absolutely.
With that fine motor skills. So you guys have this Ages and Stages document. How can people get that?
They can get that a couple different ways. One, they can go to our website at metrounitedway.org, and there's a place where you can request an Ages and Stages questionnaire. You can actually get it sent to your email right then. For folks that maybe don't have computer access, you can call 211 and just say that I'm interested in Ages and Stages or how my child's developing, and they'll get you connected, and we'll get one sent out to you in the mail.
That's fantastic. So, 'cause information is power.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's one of the outreaches that you do in terms of school readiness. Anything else?
The other sort of major project that we have going right now through a grant with the Lift a Life Foundation, we are targeting child care centers that serve children in low-income areas.
Okay.
The children who are most at risk for starting school behind and then having a lifetime of trying to play catch-up. And these
right.
are our same kids that we're worried about if they're going to graduate from high school on time, being ready for college and career.
Right.
And the efforts of this early childhood or this child care project is really, a lot of folks think about child care as babysitting, you know.
Right.
Most people call it daycare. And it's so much more. It's such an important time in our children's lives. And this is working with teachers and providing them with supports to make their learning environments and the work that they're doing with students to be
more stimulating.
Absolutely.
And engaging in the, not academic.
Not academic.
Kind of learning through play.
Absolutely. And developing critical thinking skills. We use this creative curriculum, which is really about child-centered learning. So the teacher's really learning to follow the child's interest and engage them and get them thinking about what do they want to know more about, you know, specific topics. And they can, what we're seeing is that you might spend an entire month learning about balls.
Right. Kids are curious.
And they start with, like, things we know about balls already, things that we wish we would know about balls. And then they do experiments to see, you know, how high will this one bounce,
and right.
What happens if we cut this one open? What's inside? You know, all kinds of things that is really developing critical thinkers, not that kind of here's some flashcards and
well,
you
so
sit
what
still
do you
and
think,
read a story.
What do you think about all of these things that are thrown at parents that I need to buy this? Should my kid be using this? Am I not doing the best for my child because I didn't buy this, I don't even know what, some phonics or my baby can read, you know? That was really huge when my son was born. And I said, I don't want my one-year-old to be able to read. So what is the theory on that?
Well, I definitely have a personal theory of that is just, that's not the way that we need to be inspiring learning in our children. The sort of rote development and trying to teach a baby to read. Why?
Right.
You've got lots.
I still
want
to keep
that.
Some things secret. I don't want them to be
exactly.
able to read.
How do you spell out things in front of your kids?
They know how to read. I know. Let's not advance that too quickly. So it's more about a natural fostering. I mean, you don't want to ignore when they show signs.
Right.
You're following their lead.
And absolutely. And you know, you should be reading with your child every day from the day that they're born. That's a great thing to do. But an expectation that, you know, he should be reading back to you when he's two is unrealistic and not what we really need for children.
Not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's talk about a child is entering kindergarten, whether it be in JCPS or a private school, or they're ready to start some homeschooling or another county in the surrounding area. How do we know in terms socially? Let's talk about social readiness for kindergarten. What are some things that parents should work on at home and discuss with their child and or maybe signs that they're not ready or need some help in a certain area?
Well, one thing that I want to just say is that as much as I talk about school readiness, that there is a certain element of schools need to be ready for children, too. They come to us at all different places.
Right.
And the only thing that you really need to be school ready is to have that birth date meet the cutoff.
Right.
But, you know, if I'm really... They will take you.
Yeah, they will take you. They
have to take you. But, you know, things like, you know, being able to separate from mom and dad, okay, being able to follow some instructions, being able to, we don't want our kids to be sitting in desks all day, but there has to be a little bit of ability to self-manage and be able to focus a little bit for brief amounts of time. I mean, I think that's a lot of, in this sort of busy world that we live in, kids are sort of bouncing from one thing to the next, and sometimes you just have to foster the ability to sit still and focus on something for more than a few minutes at a time.
So at home, parents could build in some of that time,
mm-hmm.
that kind of routine at home. You know, sit down, do a puzzle, have a quiet time, focus, you know, do something
right.
that requires that kind of time frame at home.
Absolutely. And we're all very busy, and sometimes it's hard to fit those times in, but it is really, not only is it really important for your child to be developing those skills, but it's really important for your child to be able to spend that time with you, to have that nurturing relationship with.
And what if there is some sort of, you mentioned being able to separate, what are some things that parents can do to, if they know they have a child that is going to have some separation anxiety?
Well, I think that first providing some opportunities some low threat opportunities to be separated from mom and dad, whether that's with, you know, a babysitter for a little while or a Mother's Day out or
a friend,
anything like that. And then there's lots of great books that you can read with your children about that. You know, The Kissing Hand comes to mind as one that talks about the, even though we are apart for a little while, we're still together. You know, we're still connected because we love each other so much.
Right.
And we're coming back together later.
And those open houses and opportunities to go see the school, I think those are really important. Because even my son is showing, he was in kindergarten last year. He knows what school's all about. He knows that routine. But he's showing a little anxiety of returning to school. Mm-hmm. He loves school. So it's not about, oh gosh, I'm dreading this because it was terrible. No, that wasn't the case. He's just dreading the change.
Absolutely.
Right. And so I already know he's reassured knowing that he has open house and he can go meet his teacher and he can see his new room and he'll know where to go and all of that stuff. So if you have those opportunities to visit the school with your kid, I think that's important.
Absolutely. And, you know, the first time that the child steps into the school should not be after, you know, he rode the bus for the first time that day. Any opportunity that you have where you can go together and he's got you that that first visit, he's got you there to help provide comfort.
And we took my son over the summer last year before kindergarten to the playground at the school so that we could show him, oh, look at this cool playground. This is where you're going to play at recess. And so even though we couldn't get into the building, he felt more natural there. He felt familiar there. And so that's an idea as well.
That's an awesome thing.
I've got some great ideas.
You do have some great
ideas. Yeah, I was
a
teacher, you know. I dealt with the high school kids that did fall behind. You know, mm-hmm. I always taught the at-risk math students in high school. So I kind of have a soft spot for some of this readiness, like you mentioned, that it starts out early and that we have to look at the children and figure out just very simply how to get them ready. I don't think we need to sit down and, you know, doing workbooks all summer and things like that. But small things to get them ready socially. If you have a friend, you know, like you mentioned, with my friend, we do some kind of parenting swapping. If my friend dropped her kids off at my house the whole day and she just went and got her hair done. You don't need a good excuse.
Right.
You know, like I need to go to a doctor's appointment. It's just good for the kids to be in a different and have another adult telling them kind of what to do and giving some structure to their day. So in terms of academic readiness, because there are some recommendations for what are some going into kindergarten, what are some things that kids should know?
You know, we would like for kids to be able to count out loud all the way up to maybe 30 already.
Okay.
To be able to sort and classify objects. So, you know, if you have a box of blocks, can they take all the red ones and put them together and all the yellow ones to put them together? Things like that. Being able to recognize some letters. We're not, again, not looking for kids to be reading when they get to kindergarten.
Right. Just recognizing some letters, not even all of them?
Right. I mean, it'd be fantastic if they could recognize
right.
all of them, but that's what kindergarten's for. That's
right.
what they're going to be working on in kindergarten. You know, holding a book, knowing that this is the front of the book and this is the way that we turn the pages. I mean, some of those things are important. Being able to identify body parts, you know, knowing things that are the same and different, rhyming words, a lot of stuff that, you know, a lot of kids that have the opportunity to have preschool experiences, a lot of the stuff that, you know, you'd see in a preschool classroom.
What about writing?
I think that teachers would love to be able to see that kids can already write their name.
First name?
First name, especially for folks that have a long last name like Gdansky, that's
yeah.
one of those things that they're going to work on in kindergarten. But yeah, absolutely. If you can write your first name, and a key thing that I know that kindergarten teachers would appreciate for me to say is knowing that that's with a capital letter and then the lowercase letters
right.
following.
That's a good point because I'm guilty of when my daughter started writing just having her write it all capital. And we transitioned after
right.
her four-year-old preschool teacher, you know, kind of gave the tip to me, let's have her write with the big M and then follow with the lowercase letters because that's what'll be expected of her. I mean, do you write everything in all capitals? And I thought about it. I said, no, that's right. You know, good. Right. But you just think the block letters for the kids rather than bombarding them with a bunch of different. But so they want them to write their first name with the capital letter and then followed by the lowercase.
Which is a good way to kind of be able to identify some letters, both uppercase and lowercase. One that I think that when you think about maybe when we were in kindergarten, things that you weren't an expectation, they would love for your child to be able to know their address and their phone number. And there are simple ways, you know, you can sort of put your phone number to the, you know, the tune of Mary Had a Little Lamb,
right.
And
songs.
And work
they
on
will
how
remember
you learn that.
Songs. That's right.
I mean, not only is that important because that's a skill that they want kids to have, but especially if you think about a place like JCPS where there's so many children and so many bus routes.
It's important,
right? It's important. When this child has gotten on the wrong bus or something, you know, some mishap happened, does he know what his mom's name is, that it's not just mommy?
Right, some basic information.
Some basic information, and do you know a phone number? Can we try to call mommy?
Right. Okay, now my son's going to listen to this podcast when he's 18 and be very, very angry at me. Okay, I'm going to do it. The summer before his kindergarten, you know, we deal with the potty.
Mm-hmm.
And although they're five and they can do all of that, I was so stressed out about what if he had to do number two at school. We impress the stress on them. So I didn't want to make it stressful, but he was not at the point yet where he wanted to do that alone. Now we're fine. We do. And I tried to kind of say to him, you're going to kindergarten. You know, this is, and we did have some issues at the beginning of school where he would hold it in and wouldn't go. And so that is a stress, I think, for a lot of parents on their readiness to school, the bathroom type things. Any tips for that? Because let me just tell you, that was.
Feel that stress too.
Yes.
Yes. You know, that is one of those things that I think, like you said, you don't want to impart your stress on it, but you know that it's important and that the kindergarten teacher doesn't want to go in there and wipe him off. So, yeah. I mean, I have literally kind of been like, well, we're going to do it a little bit at a time. I mean, you know, as a mom, let's talk about, I'll pull off a little bit of this toilet paper. Let's count. How many squares did we pull off? Okay, let's wad it up. Now you try for a little while and then I'm going to double check you. And did that process for a while until, you know, we both felt fairly comfortable.
And I felt it really important. I hadn't thought about this when buying clothes, but I've found now that I take the stress out of it. I don't buy button down or zipper pants.
Right.
Because both of my kids, the elastic waist takes the stress out of it. They get very stressed out. My son will tell me, I don't want to wear these pants. I can't do the button. And so when I go shop now, I have that in mind because they're going to school. It wasn't an issue when they were home and I could take care of it for them.
Right.
So when they're in school, think about when you're going to your back to school shopping, you're sending off a young child. Make sure they can do that, do their clothes with ease.
That's an important thing to consider. So many schools have uniforms too. And so taking a look at, are you choosing the uniform pants that have the button or the ones that have the little slide clasp? Because the slide clasp is much easier to use when you have to meet the uniform standards. But like you said, yeah, I know that same thing.
I know. I mean, the gamut of things we have to wonder, okay, do they know their numbers and can they pull up their pants?
Right. Absolutely.
Getting ready for school. Getting ready for school. Okay, so do you have any tips for parents? Like, it's the summer. We want to do something fun to help getting. So what are some fun ideas that you may implement in these, you know, when you go and you talk to preschool teachers, say, that parents at home could do some fun readiness type things for their kids?
I mean, I think that there's just so much easy things to do. Anything that you do in your day-to-day can be a learning opportunity. And opening up as many experiences as you can to your child is important. Now, I know that not everybody has the financial resources to be able to go and do all of the wonderful things that are available in this city.
But there's so many free options.
For
example, I'll highlight this one in terms of something that's highly educational and a wonderful opportunity for parents who might have some financial struggles, but they want to expose their children. Couple of things. The Kentucky Science Center has free play dates several times throughout the year, and they do them on the weekend as well as the weekdays. And as long as they're for children 0 to 4, so it's this target audience that you're talking about where it's, you know, you want to foster all of these things. But they open up an hour early at 8:30 to 9:30. They host a little play date for the caregivers and the little ones 0 to 4. And they get free access. They have this play date with a Science Center staff. And then you get access to the whole museum for free for the whole day.
That's amazing.
So that is a wonderful opportunity. The only cost you'll have is getting there, whether that's via the bus or via somebody dropping you off or paying to park. But the rest of it, you can go to the Science Center, which would cost you way more. You can go for free with that little toddler. And what's awesome is they have like the whole Science Center all to themselves.
It's amazing. Not
even open yet. So they don't, the kids, usually the little ones to stay on the bottom floor, but that you can get the whole museum for an hour. You get to the upper levels where the kids can touch and explore and build, and they don't have people around them, you know, the intimidating them, say, not that, you know, it's just naturally intimidating having all the big kids around,
right.
And the parents get really protective of the little ones up there. But then there's also the Speed Art Museum. Although it's not open right now, they have a satellite called Changing Local Speed in Nulu, and they have free Saturday workshops as well. And so there are free educational stimulating activities for families. And that's one of the reasons I started my blog, is because I know that there's diversity in
right.
this city, and that those who want to engage their children should be able to do it. Regardless, there should be no barrier to that. And so exposing, although, of course, here I am on a podcast, which is like shown digitally on a computer. I just hope that everyone has access to a computer. You know, it's like, you know, most people do with the public libraries and everything to get that. So there is ways to build in the fun. It's just natural.
Right. And I mean, even, you know, so having those opportunities to be exposed to that kind of thing, but also just sort of your everyday sort of opportunities. When you're folding the laundry, can your child help you sort the socks into different colors or sort the clothes by family member? You know, as you're driving down the street or riding the bus, are you taking a look at signs and pointing out, you know, that's a stop sign. It's red. You know, what are the letters we see on it? All of those, you know, you can really, if you just sort of stop and think about it, anything can be a learning opportunity.
And there probably are some things now with Pinterest and Googling. My son came home from kindergarten with a calendar from the school, and it was every day, June and July, up, and then a little bit in August, something to do each day.
Mm-hmm.
That took the thinking out of it for me. And some of the things were, it was a Sunday, take the newspaper and go and circle every letter in the alphabet. Go find an A, circle it. Go find a B, circle it. So there's probably, if you Google, you know, getting ready, principal, getting ready for kindergarten mm-hmm. activities, you can get some of those ideas so that I think, like you just said, with sorting the laundry, once you think of 5, you can probably come up with 10.
Absolutely.
Just right there.
And the project that we talked about, the United Way project earlier, the ages and stages piece, when folks fill out that survey, we send information back about how their child did and all kinds of activities that are all no cost, low cost, things that are age appropriate that you can be doing with your child all along from the time that they're babies up until they're about ready to start school, just little things, easy things that you could be doing at home.
So it's not too late. I mean, even if you have a child who is entering school, you should still maybe get that document. I mean, ideally, it'd be great if you do it young.
Right.
Okay, but if you have a 2-, 3-, 4-year-old, you can still Metro United Way and get that document and get that information.
And we don't ever want to think that it's too late. It's never too
right.
late.
Right, so get right. that document. Do it. Okay, so last topic, let's talk about, we've focused on the little kids because that's where the main, like, oh, my baby is going to kindergarten. You know, that's where everybody focuses on. But what about if your trying to just transition your child from, you know, the fourth grade to the fifth grade, the ninth grade to the 10th grade, what are some ideas for that bridging the summer and keeping them academically and just stimulated and engaged?
So, I mean, I think that reading is such an important one. And reading for summer is the perfect time for reading for pleasure. And our library system in this community is amazing. And so many children participate in the summer reading program, and so many more should. But, yeah. You know, to be reading for pleasure throughout the summer, that's a great way not to lose the learning that you experienced over the summer. I think it's also important for families to start thinking about routines, and you know, when it's getting pretty close to back to school time, that we start lowering, you know, working
right.
those bedtimes back.
That it's okay to give the kids a break for a little bit, but maintain some sort of structure so
right.
it's not like bam, they're
right.
just hit.
And this, and I think that it's also the same thing that we were talking about, anxiety for little guys starting a new school. You know, as adults, we have anxiety about something new and a new change. So the same ideas play for your middle schooler, your high schooler, to have the opportunity to, if there's an opportunity to meet the teacher earlier, to go check out, you know, where's my locker going to be? Where's my, what time am I going to have to get on the bus in the morning and to get to school on time? All of those things, information is power.
And let them participate in some of that, in the decision making, and even shopping for some back to school supplies or something like that, mm-hmm. to get them motivated and excited to do that. So I think this has been really informative from Corey here from the Metro United Way. So I hope that everybody tuning in is, I know we're right back in the middle of back to school. Everyone's going back to school momentarily here. I mean, all the schools are on different schedules. Some people I saw in early August get posting back to school, some of the private schools. So regardless, I mean, it's already the end of the summer, but these are things that don't just happen in the summer. They happen. This is part of life. You
yes.
know, getting your kids ready for anything is just a daily, daily, daily thing. But we cannot end this podcast. We must end the podcast with our Friday funny, because it's Friday. You got to kick off the weekend. If you're a parent listening to this podcast, you are going to get a top-notch cheesy joke from Corey, so that you can go tell your kids this joke and get them rolling, laughing for the weekend. Okay, so turn on your comedic charm, Corey.
All right. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Cargo.
Cargo who?
Cargo vroom.
My son is going to love that one. I'm totally telling him that joke today. I can tell you have boys.
I do have two boys.
She has two boys, and they laugh.
They do.
Did you teach them that one, or did they teach you?
We learned it together, but it's one of the ones that my oldest son, it's one that he usually can get right and then gets the joke.
Repeat it. And that's, you know what? That, in terms of school readiness, being able to tell a joke, that would be a great little skill in terms of listening and being able to tell something back. That's, I mean, little things like jokes.
Everyday stuff.
Everyday stuff is preparing your kids. So thank you so much to Corey Gudansky from the Metro United Way being here to talk to us about school readiness. And tune in again next week on Louisville Family Fun on the Louisville.am podcast so that we can get you ready for school, get you ready for fun, whatever it is pertaining to parents here in Louisville. We'll get you the information. Thank you so much, Corey.
Thank you.